Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is the Real Spoilers Halloween special.
Ooh,
how about that?
Spooky.
Well, it's not too spooky because we're going to do horror comedies.
Well, don't spoil it.
That was the joke.
I don't know how we're going to talk about them without telling people what we're talking about,
That's a good point.
So before we get too far in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
This is Brad.
And this is Tom. And joining us via the magic of Skype-a-phone, well, me, but also our guest, Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Hey, you guys. I'm so glad to be back. It seems like only yesterday that we were sitting down to talk about It Chapter 2. And so I'm very excited to be back here once again and looking forward to this hilarious discussion of our top five favorite horror comedies.
Yeah.
Of course, this is going to be part of the invasion of the remake. They're all the horror special where they have different guests doing episodes for 31 Days of Halloween. And so we appreciate that invite. And thank you, Ryan, for getting us involved there.
I had to. They're looking for volunteers. I'm like, I know some people I can volunteer. So I sent them a whole list. So I'm glad to see you guys part of it.
Awesome. Well, I guess I will just dive in then and start with mine since I'm going to have to sneak out here early. So I'm going to butt to the front of the line. Mine will probably won't surprise most people because people know I love to pick the old movies.
No.
Shocking, I know. I went with an Abbott and Costello movie.
What?
But probably not the one you're thinking of. So The obvious choice, obviously, is Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Yep. And while that's a lot of fun because you get to see the Universal monsters, and I honestly don't think it's that funny of a movie. Like, it's fun to see them interact with those characters, but joke for joke, I don't think it's all that funny. But in 1941, they had their first horror movie, which was called Hold That Ghost.
Yeah.
And I think, joke for joke, that's a much funnier movie. And also, interestingly enough, they recycle one of the gags from that in Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, which is the sliding candle that only Costello sees slide.
Sure.
But they end up in a haunted house that a gangster has hidden money in, and they're supposed to find the money, and then obviously hilarity ensues. But but yeah, I think this is honestly probably it's a funnier movie. It's them at the height of their powers. This is the third movie that they made. It was they made it immediately following Buck Privates. But Buck Privates became such a hit that they shut down production on this movie so they could make another military-related film.
Oh, sure.
Which was in the Navy, and then when that was over, they came back and finished this movie. And it's like most movies from that age; it's got a pretty brief runtime. So, like, you're not in for a lot of a lot of time. It's an 86-minute movie. But here's the secret to getting 10 minutes of your life back. Skip the musical numbers.
Yeah.
Because now they did bring in the Andrews Sisters, which is probably that those are always the best ones in the Abbott and Costello movies when you see the Andrews Sisters pop up. But because of how the movie was made, they just kind of tacked on a musical number at the beginning and a musical number at the end that has no bearing on the plot in any way, shape, or form. And so you can blow through those and knock out this movie in 76 minutes.
Ooh, that's a tight runtime.
It is a tight runtime. Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, from a horror comedy standpoint, I think like this is actually a funnier movie than Meets Frankenstein, and you get Chimp Howard.
Can't go wrong there.
Yeah, who does a great job when Costello would allow his scenes to make it into the movie because he was very threatened by Shemp. And you also get Joan Davis, who I don't know if you guys will know, but like she had a sitcom called I Married Joan with Jim Backus, and it was like an I Love Lucy knockoff. And Jim Backus played a judge, and he was very button up, and she was kind of wacky and zany. But she's really funny as well. And so anyway, there's a lot of good stuff in this one. And I don't think it's the one people normally think of when they think Abbott and Costello on Halloween. So
no.
There you go.
That's one of my favorites.
I've never even seen that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like that one a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, it's really solid.
Well, cool.
Not seen that one.
It's no Abbott and Costello Meets the Killer, but, you know.
I don't know. I think that one's pretty weak.
No, it's not good.
It's not good at all.
Oh, awesome. Did you have any other honorable mentions before you go, Tom?
Something newer that I like a lot, and honestly, I think is probably in a similar vein to an Abbott and Costello movie, but would be Tucker and Dale versus
You
Evil.
Son of a bee.
That's probably on all of our lists.
I think that will probably come up in this discussion, Tom. Don't you worry.
Well, then there you have it. Of course, in the house... not the doctor drama.
Oh no, totally. Yeah, that's a good one too.
Cat movie.
Yeah. I like that one a lot. That's the one with is that John Kratzenberg?
No, I think he's in two.
He's in two.
And George Wendt is
in
one.
You're right. That's what it is. Yeah. That's a good little movie too.
Yeah. And Bull from Night Court is also in one,
yes,
I believe.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness we got our old-timey references in here.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, cool. Well, I guess you got to scoot, Tom.
Yeah, I'm going to jump, but enjoy the rest of your horror comedies. I'm glad I was able to ruin one. Yeah. It's real spoilers for a reason.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, have fun, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, Tom.
Cool. Talk to you later.
I'm thinking maybe since Tom just went, let's go to Tom's left.
Okay.
As you can see
here.
I
guess that's me.
Which is Joe, one of our resident horror expert, not to be confused with our Skype horror expert, Ryan, that's joining us. But let's see what Joe has.
You know, I feel like obviously Tom has already spoiled one. I feel like we'll just knock this one out right now. Yeah. Shaun of the Dead. That's probably the best horror comedy to come out in the last 15 years.
That's a great one. And it didn't even make my list.
Are you serious?
It didn't make mine either. I'm actually not really a fan of that one.
Cut his mic.
Okay.
No, Sean, so it's the coming out party for American coming out party for Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, and Nick Frost. Hot Fuzz, The World's End.
It's the Cornetto trilogy.
This is basically Simon Pegg plays a schlub, not really a schlub, but just kind of like an everyman. His life isn't exactly the greatest. He's got kind of a dopey roommate. His girlfriend has just left him. And in the process of all that, there's a zombie apocalypse that has descended upon Great Britain. And he kind of has to become his own final girl and step up and take charge of this group of ragtag group of his ex-girlfriend now, his mom, his roommate.
Who's just like, he's like the Patrick from SpongeBob.
It's
of
exactly
the group.
And he's such a, he's so wonderful. Like, yeah. And then you've got his girlfriend's best friend, his girlfriend's roommate and her boyfriend, but not real boy. Mm. It's hard to tell. And Edgar, like this is it's basically Night of the Living Dead with a little bit of a comedy twist to it. The zombie gore is great. There's some great homages to Dawn of the Dead where one of the characters gets legitimately torn to shreds. But it's from 2004. This is like right at the height, well, right at the beginning of the zombie craze. So you had the Walking Dead, the comic book, I think was very hot at the time. You had Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake. You had 28 Days Later. So you had all of these like super intense zombie flicks. And then here comes Shaun of the Dead, that takes a more comedic approach to it. I think it's a brilliant comedy. I think those, when you get those three guys together, they can literally produce fried gold.
Well, it's perfect. It's a perfect counter programming to, as you said, I mean, this is the height of the zombie resurgence, yeah. Coming off of James Gunn's and Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake.
I appreciate that you threw James Gunn in there. That's much better than Zack Snyder's. Well, so
he wrote it, you know.
No, totally. Yeah.
I really appreciate what that did. Was it's like, yeah, zombies everywhere, but those guys are hilarious.
Yeah,
they are all. Pretty much. I mean, for movie lovers, they're household names. You've seen them in a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They've done a
Simon
lot of stuff.
Simon Pegg
since.
Is like a pop culture.
Well,
icon
yeah. Simon Pegg, absolutely. But you see these guys everywhere, and it's really started there as far as their popularity.
Yeah.
And I agree, it's very funny. I'm curious, Ryan, why it didn't work for you.
I actually, the only Edgar Wright movie that I really like is Baby Driver. I'm not really a fan of the rest of his work. I'm really not that big on Simon Pegg either. There's something about the comedy in Shaun of the Dead and related movies. It just doesn't sit well with me. It almost annoys me more than it does entertains me.
That's okay. I mean, yeah.
It's hard. I like between the two, if I were to compare this with From Dusk Till Dawn, I'd say has some similar tropes in it, although it's vampires instead of,
I would agree with that for sure.
Instead of zombies. If I look at Edgar Wright's, just look at his other movies, the only one that I thoroughly enjoyed was Baby Driver, which isn't even, it's not even really a comedy. So I think it's his style of comedy. It annoys me. It reminds me of, to me, it plays to the lowest common denominator.
Oh, get out of here.
I don't find it smart or clever. I just find it very basic.
Oh, you talk about.
Did you not like Scott Pilgrim?
No.
Oh,
not
man.
At all.
I love Scott Pilgrim.
Oh,
I
goodness.
Like Scott Pilgrim less than Shaun of the Dead.
Wow. Fight.
Yeah.
Fight. Sorry, so Ryan, you talk about some of Joe's hot takes. Yeah. Jeez, buddy.
That's
really Harry Cubs, this is payback for all the hot takes he's had to listen to.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think I have any hot takes.
Joe's never had a hot take. That's funny. Okay, no, I think that's solid. It didn't make my list, but I do think it's very funny. I think it definitely deserves to be on top lists, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
This is the End is another one that is popular that I don't like either. So,
I can see that one's okay. Like that one, it didn't make my list, but it was like number six or seven. Like it's in the top 10, not top five.
Okay.
It's a little bro-y. It's weird.
I hated it when it came out, and then I just rewatched it a few months ago, and I'm like, okay. I feel like I understand more of what they were doing, and I appreciate the actors a little bit more. Like when it first came out, yes, I felt it was very bro-y, but I also feel like it's very much a parody.
Yes,
yeah, James Franco,
right.
Being
Michael
playing
Cera.
It up, and it's. And it's not like I didn't recognize it at all when it came out, but I just didn't like it. I didn't like what they were doing.
Is that the one they end with Backstreet Boys? Okay.
Yes.
But yeah, it's like the main character is Jay Baruchel, who's coming home. He's friends with Seth Rogen, but
James Franco
and all these
guys
are douches he just doesn't want to hang out with them. Anyway. Do you want to go down your list
for
honorable mentions?
Sure.
Or because that may lead into someone else's top, and then maybe they can take it from there.
Sure. So
I know we're going to overlap a lot.
The other four.
Sorry, Brad. Did you have anything to add about Scott Pilgrim? I know we talked about it. I'm sorry, Shaun of the Dead. We talked about it a lot.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I really did enjoy it when I
did or did not.
Did.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, no, across this goddamn table.
I know. Like, he's safe over there.
Yeah. He's lucky he's on a screen.
Hockey fight here in the room. Okay. So, what are some of your.
I was going to mention From Dusk Till Dawn, which I think is a very, Robert Rodriguez to Quentin Tarantino. American Werewolf in London was like 1.5.
Okay.
Like, that's John Landis at its most John Landis. That's got Rick Baker's makeup, which is just out of this world. I know,
I haven't seen that in a long time, and that has comedy elements.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Very
big
fun,
time.
Okay.
Big
okay.
time. I was. I know Evil Dead is probably on somebody's list. It's not on mine. Army of Darkness is, though.
Yeah, probably not Evil Dead.
Evil Dead 2. Sorry. Okay. Evil Dead 2.
Because I'm like, Evil Dead really isn't comedy, but.
No, Evil okay. Dead 2. Army of Darkness, I think, is the funnier.
Yeah.
Like, it is a straight up comedy. Like, more comedy elements than Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2. Tucker and Dale versus Evil was on there. And then the final one was Cabin in the Woods.
Okay.
Yep. Was my last one.
I have that on mine.
Yeah. Awesome. So there you go.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Ryan, how about you jump in here with your list and your number one, if you could put one at number one.
Oh, sure. Number one for me is Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yes.
I absolutely love that movie. It is incredibly rewatchable, and the writing is tight. The pacing is fantastic. The humor hits every single time. It delivers everything that you want to see from a slasher style comedy. And as much as I like Cabin in the Woods, which is an honorable mention for me, I think Tucker and Dale versus Evil, maybe cinematically, I couldn't put it on the same level, because Cabin in the Woods certainly, from a technical perspective, it does exceed Tucker and Dale. However, I find it's much more enjoyable, mm-hmm. and I find that it evokes much more laughter. And I absolutely love all the gore. Just everything about these guys, it just fits. And it's a fish out of water. It's slasher. It's a comedy. It's all these great things, and it checks off all the boxes that it needs to check to make sure that it delivers in each and every one of those categories. And it makes for great GIFs on Twitter. And it's just you love these guys, and it's just, you really feel for them, because it's like, you know, they're just trying to go fishing at this cabin, and then like all of these things happen, and of course they think, you know, the teenagers are psychos, and of course the teenagers think that they're psychos, and I think my favorite kill in the entire movie is the wood chipper.
That
kill.
Has to be the wood chipper.
Absolutely love that one.
That movie,
Chekhov's wood chipper.
Yeah, that movie loses a little bit of steam for me at the end when it gets to like the sawmill.
Really?
Like, just a little bit. Like, it's a weird shift. From going
from, it explains
from,
what
it does. Well, I mean, like when it gets to the, like when the bad guy is revealed.
Right.
To be the bad. So, like, to me, just I liked the idea that these kids were like, from the kids' point of view, they're like, we refuse to be in this slasher flick where you've got Tucker and Dale, played by Alan Tudyk and Tyler Labine, who are just like, what? These kids have some weird suicide pact.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
So great.
So, like, when you
but
get
I
to
like
the end.
There's motivation for the bad kid, the one that does want to be in this horror movie, to be crazy. Because the whole time you're just, I mean, yeah, he's a bro-y douche, and you're like, oh, I'm cool, and I'm going to take these guys on. You think that it's because he's just being tough and whatever, but it's like you find out there's a reason, because he goes nuts over the top,
yes,
crazy.
He does, yeah.
But they explain it.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, it's smart.
And the fat guy gets the hot chick.
Very smart comedy.
It's very smart.
Well orchestrated.
Yeah,
I should see it.
Oh, you should.
Oh yeah, it's so good. It's on Netflix, I think.
I have it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It is on Netflix right now. It's also on sale on Amazon to own for $5, which I just went ahead and bought it.
Yeah,
and
it's so good.
I rewatched it yesterday. I hadn't seen it since it came out, but I loved it, and I wanted it to be fresh. And it's so fun. What I really love about the movie is it acts kind of as two different movies. Like, it's a great balance and blend of horror and comedy, but what I love is that you get two movies out of it. You see it from the perspective of, it's a bunch of kids that are, they fall into so many tropes, right?
Yes.
This movie's all about tropes. And so you have the college kids that are going on a trip similar to like the Spring Break and even like the Evil Dead stuff. You have these kids going on this trip, and then you have Tucker and Dale, two good old boys in the country. And so from the kids' perspective, they're falling into all the tropes, and Tucker and Dale seem like the creepy killers from all these horror movies.
When they're pulling the blonde out of the water.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I got your friend. And they're just trying to say, hey, we got your friend. We saved her. So it's a whole, the whole thing is, bad communication, and they see each other as the bad guys from their perspective. So you see it as like a horror movie, whereas Ryan said you have so many great kills, so much gore, many great kills. So you've got your horror payoff and all that creepy, even jump scares, which you know you're in a comedy, but you still get those scares. But then all the Tucker and Dale stuff and the stuff that keeps happening to them, you can't help but to feel bad for Tucker and Dale.
Right.
And it's funny. And you know, Alan Tudyk.
I think my favorite kill is the... when Alan Tudyk is cutting down the tree and he hits the beehive and he's just running around like a madman with a chainsaw.
I couldn't stop laughing out loud.
And then the other kid's like, it looks like this kid thinks he's chasing him with a chainsaw when honestly he's just trying to
get away from bees.
And then the kid impales himself on like a tree. And they're just like, and Alan Tudyk's like, oh my God!
These kids are trying to kill themselves. You can just watch it, Brad.
It's great.
We shouldn't spoil it for anybody else that hasn't seen it, but it is one of the funniest.
No spoilers, though.
No, it's fine.
She's digging. They're making her dig her own grave.
Yeah, it's too fun. Like,
that sounds wonderful.
People need to watch it. But yeah, it's. I think it is like Ryan said. The writing is so clever. The acting is so funny. It's. There's never a dull moment. But I think what really keeps you engaged is that you see it from two perspectives.
Yeah.
And if you love horror movies, like I mean, I know at least two huge horror buffs here. But you know, I've seen my fair share of them, and it keeps
only
hitting.
Because we made you.
No, some of them. But you just keep getting these tropes, and you're like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what they're parodying.
Oh yeah, it's a Friday the 13th parody is basically what it is.
It's
like
there's so many, though.
Or you know, little Hills Have Eyes, like
Evil
it's
Dead,
all,
Chainsaw,
all that good stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, you get all these homage, and the horror buffs have something to really chew on, but then for people that even don't like horror movies, like Katie doesn't like horror movies, but I had her watch this yesterday. I'm like, you like Alan Tudyk. It's funny. Watch it. And I caught her.
Tyler Labine is one of those guys that I think is severely underrated.
What else has he done?
So he was on a show called Reaper.
Okay.
Which was the Kevin Smith show, which was great. Mm-hmm. But he's been in a bunch of stuff. Oh, he was in, what was that movie? Escape Room. He was the guy who died, like he was in the hospital, like they shock him, like the big heavyset guy with the beard.
Oh, really?
That's him.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's one of those guys that pops up, and every time he pops up, you're like, God dang, like that dude's so funny. And even Kevin Smith put him in Zach and Miri.
Okay.
And Kevin Smith has even said he's like when he came, like he just did whatever he we just said go, and he that whole thing is ad-libbed. Okay. That whole scene where he walks into the coffee shop when they're filming is all ad-libbed, and Kevin Smith is like, I just left it in because it was so goddamn funny.
That's awesome.
So yeah, he's one of those guys that is severely underrated, and this is another one of those times where you're just like, oh yeah, man, this dude is so funny.
Brad, see it. You gotta see it.
Yeah,
right. Ryan, any other final thoughts, and then the rest of your honorable mentions?
I like what you said, Kevin, about you get two movies in one. So one might say that this is a late night double feature picture show.
Yeah.
I think what makes it great is just how unapologetically funny it is, and you can tell that that the director and the writer knew precisely what they wanted to deliver.
Yep.
And it's highly strategic. Nothing feels forced or just we got to have this trope in there just to have it. We have great characters. We have great character reactions. We have these tropes which move the story forward. We're not just including them to include them. Every scene in this comedy moves forward, and every scene sets up the following scene, and the payoff is fantastic. And it feels like a horror comedy that really should be perhaps talked about more than it is. Because it really offers us so much, and I find a little fault in it. It's it wants to have fun with the genre, and I appreciate it for how much fun it does have with all the things about horror that we like.
Well, and the other thing that you didn't even mention, none of us even talked about, besides from the great balance of horror and comedy, it also has a lot of heart to it as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With Tyler Labine and the girl.
Yeah. With Dale, I mean, you've got this guy that is bad with girls, self-proclaimed, bad with women. He just wants to be loved. He wants to talk to a pretty girl. the people, the kids, make a lot of assumptions about them because of the way they look. And once she stops and gets to know him, she falls in love with him and they form a relationship. True. And it's really sweet. And so you've got this great horror comedy thing going on, but then you also have this
rom-com.
Yeah, you have
it
this,
is, yeah.
This other component, this other side story of a love story, which you don't even think about because there's so much great, funny horror stuff going on. But that part's really well done. And it isn't like, oh, get to the kills. Like, you actually feel for the guy and you want him to succeed. And it's a nice,
yeah, it's
nice
a good
story.
And also, I think there was talk of a sequel at some point.
I do remember that going around.
Much like From Dusk Till Dawn, I think was kicked around at one point. It was actually shown in something. There was a billboard in something that was, I think it may have been Spider-Verse.
Okay.
Where it was From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, so there was talk at one point. I don't know. This thing, I felt like I definitely saw it on home video, so I don't think it did what they wanted it to, but I feel like you could probably swing another Tucker and Dale sequel somehow. I don't know. I don't know what story you could possibly do, but if they can make this one work, I don't know why they couldn't make something else work.
Oh yeah, I think they could find something to make it work, and they could. I think they definitely could have them. You know, they could do different tropes, like instead of the zombie stuff or the killer tropes, you could do more zombie or you could do vampire.
Oh yeah,
you know, there could definitely be some kind of a
stuff.
Weird.
Yeah,
I would definitely take it. What else is on your list, Ryan?
My honorable mentions or my official list?
Oh, your official your official list.
Oh, my official list. Oh, yeah. So, at number two, I have Gremlins.
Solid movie. Good choice.
I almost had it at number one, but I do is as rewatchable as Gremlins is, and as just fantastic the film is. I do like Tucker and Dale just a little more, but Gremlins is right there. At number two, at three is the recent Ready or Not. Absolutely loved everything about Ready or Not.
No, totally.
And so number four is...
I will say, after speaking with certain people from the creation of that movie, they don't consider it a horror film.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah.
That was my problem going into this podcast today, is that like the horror comedy... Oh, I'll get into it when
subjective.
I get to my list.
Yeah.
It's like, is it horror? Is it because what I would say is my number one is a comedy... But because there's horror elements of certain things in it,
the creators and directors thought that considered it a thriller, and not a horror film.
See, it screams horror to me. So I'm gonna go with it because the
talk of the people who wrote the movie called it a thriller.
Interesting. Well, they say Silence of the Lambs is not a horror movie either.
Yeah, well, that's just so they could get it into the Academy.
I bet Ryan has some thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's a horror film.
I got into it with somebody on Twitter just Friday about not considering it a horror. And the reason they didn't consider it a horror film was because IMDb doesn't have it listed as horror, therefore it cannot be.
There is a first person, there is like 5 minutes of a first person POV. That is right out of Halloween, Friday the 13th, you know,
yes.
Peeping Tom. It's all there. So, like, don't give me that garbage.
No, yeah. It is.
And Jodie Foster's a final girl.
Yes, she is. She's very,
yeah, you
very
fight
much
me on that.
Is.
I dare you.
Don't look at me. I'm not going to fight you.
Number four, Piranha 3D.
Oh.
And number five is a little-known film called Stage Fright from 2014, not the one from 1950, whatever it is, but it's a horror comedy musical.
Is that with Topher Grace in it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, yeah.
And so we have that, and we also have Minnie Driver, Meatloaf, and it's so much fun. It takes it takes Glee and mixes it with Sleepaway Camp and mixes it with I'd say Scream. And it takes like all of these movies and puts them together, turns it into a musical, that's what it is. It's a horror comedy musical, and I like it more than Repo: The Genetic Opera. Mm. I like it more, and I like that one a lot. But I do like Stage Fright a bit more. I think the cast is fantastic, and it just we don't get musical adaptations of horror movies very often, and so I thought this was highly creative and the writing clever. We have homages to Phantom of the Opera because Minnie Driver's character is killed right after the performance of the haunting of the opera. And I thought that was funny because Minnie Driver was in the musical adaptation in 2004. And so then she's in here.
Is that the is Gerard Butler in that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Gerard Butler, Patrick Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
He plays Raoul.
He's my favorite.
Yeah.
I mentioned this to Kevin the other day, but I don't think he hadn't heard of it. A lot of people haven't. It was on Netflix in 2014-15, and that's when I first watched it. And it just really stuck with me. The musical numbers are fun. I love seeing Meatloaf. I totally didn't know it was him at first because I still think of Meatloaf as Eddie from Rocky Horror Picture mm-hmm. Show. And so this was like not the Meatloaf that I really remember. But it's I don't want to spoil anything for those who haven't seen it because it isn't one that a lot of people have seen. But yeah. If you like 80s slashers, you like musicals, and you like a great cast and just something you can kick back with and have fun on a Friday or Saturday night with your friends, definitely check out Stage Fright. It's streaming lots of places, and of course you can get it on Amazon. And it's fun. It's you get a little prom night in there, and you get some. I mean, it's just a little of like all of these things that we really like, and the comedy works brilliantly. And I love watching this movie.
There you go.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Thank you for the recommendation. And Brad, let's jump to you. I'm curious what this number one is, and we can debate what it actually is.
You asked me to make a list. I didn't know how we were doing. I figured we were all going to overlap like a lot of you did. So I realized maybe I don't watch a whole lot of horror comedy, and then maybe I'm not good at differentiating what is horror comedy, what's horror, what's comedy.
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. So the first one I thought of, I Googled it and got a whole list of what have I seen, what's a horror comedy. The first one that I put as my number one is Zombieland.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one.
But I would have considered that a comedy. Because
it has zombies.
A horror comedy is where they, almost like what Tom said about Abbott and Costello or Shaun of the Dead or American Werewolf in London, where the horror is real. Like what's happening to David in American Werewolf in London is real. Like it's scary.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, he has this wolf out moment, but then he wakes up butt ass naked in a zoo.
Yeah.
And he has to get home wearing like he has to take a woman's coat and run home naked. So it's just like there are comedy
elements.
So it's
horror to the characters, but not necessarily the audience that's watching, like for jump scares and kills. And
no, I think
like
I think all of those. I mean, even Shaun of the Dead, you've got, I mean, David. That's weird. They're both named David. David gets torn to pieces. Like, there's nothing funny about the way David dies. Yeah. Like, when he gets pulled out that window and gets his guts torn out.
Yeah.
Like, that's not funny.
Oh,
but,
Laugh Riot.
Yeah, but like, you know, the scene in the pub where, you know, where David is giving Sean a bunch of guff about fighting, and he's just like, I wasn't having a tiff with my boyfriend. He's like, it's not my boyfriend. And, you know, Ed comes back with like, here's a beer, it's a bit warm. He's like, thanks, babe. And like, so like there's comedy parts there, but what the horror is happening around them is real.
I mean, Zombieland, there's a real threat, and they're you know, people are dying.
As the audience, though, like I've never considered, I would have, other than the aspect that there's zombies in the movie, like
you don't have to be scared, but it's the genre is horror and it's a comedy. I mean, yeah, so that's perfect. Zombieland's a perfect example. Yeah. That's awesome. Right, no, I think that movie was great. I love stylized movies can work or they can fall apart.
Uh-huh.
And that movie, stylized with the words on the screen and the Ruben Fleischer, you know, all the stuff that he does with that movie, that is a really, really good example of a stylized film. I think the comedy works. The cast is great. I mean, Emma Stone is fantastic.
It's breakout performance. This is, I guess, one of her breakout performances.
But
this
Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson.
Abigail Breslin.
Okay,
yeah. Thank you. They're great.
Bill Murray.
That cameo from Bill Murray.
Who's coming back?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
It's great.
He does take a shotgun blast to the chest, so I don't really know how that's going
to
work out. But,
you know, didn't get it to the head. That's true. But yeah, you get the rules, you get the zombie horror rules and tropes there, but you get lots of laughs, a lot of quotable lines. It's an immensely fun movie.
Yeah, and I've seen it.
And it makes for a great scares zone at HHN this year.
Oh, do they have a Zombieland?
Zombieland Double is one of the scare zones.
That's fun. That's fun.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, and then you get
they
the
have the all the rules. They have like the porta potties. They have the kill of the day. They have like all of these the moments from Zombieland. And one of the scare actors who plays Bill Murray, they have one that looks like a dead ringer. When he's walking through the streets, it's like, oh my gosh, is that really Bill Murray? And of course, you also have Bill Murray at HHN this year at Ghostbusters. So he's in two places.
You know, that's one of those things that it could actually be Bill Murray. But also, you've got that killer opening sequence set to Metallica.
Yeah,
like that whole opening sequence is amazeballs.
That's true, yeah,
it's hilarious. I mean, that movie. I love it when movies and shows they can hit the ground running, and that's one of those things that right from the get, you're like, "This is what I'm getting into." Right?
Yeah.
They don't
yeah.
They don't make you wait. They don't make you figure out what movie it is. It's hilarious.
Yes.
And they put the rules up there and everything. It's great. So I'm excited for the second.
Yep. I was not until I saw like the Red Band trailer, yeah. and I was like, "Oh. We're just going to redo the movie, and I'm fine with that. Like, that's cool. Yeah. I'm cool with it.
There you go. So, okay, so what are some of your – what are your other top five?
I put Scream in there. I think they got more funny as they went along.
I got to tell you, I just rewatched all of them.
I missed four. Netflix took four, off before I got
I
got to
tell
four.
You, four gets a bunch of hate for no reason.
I love four.
Yeah. Four is really
why.
Good.
Four's
I planned on watching – yeah. I planned on watching them all.
Is that like a soft reboot?
Kind of. Like they bring back Nev Campbell, but it looks like they were going to spin off Hayden Panettiere.
Okay. Yeah.
Was gonna be like the
of,
new
yeah.
Well, yeah. yeah, so you've got Emma Watson. Nope, that's not right. Emma Roberts.
Oh boy.
one of the Culkins is in it. Kieran? Maybe.
Kieran. Good one.
Who's the
Nico,
youngest
Nico Toriella's in it too.
Yeah, who's the youngest Culkin?
Kieran know. Is the really
Who's the
talented
one from Scott
one?
Pilgrim?
Kieran.
That's it. Okay. It's the other one. Kieran's in Scott Pilgrim, but I think this is the other
one. Oh, it's the other one. Rory.
Yeah, okay.
Rory, then.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. And then Nev Campbell comes back. Dewey comes
Kieran
back.
Kieran is
Cox.
Fuller, I believe. And
I mean, Wes Homer. Craven comes back.
Yeah, it's definitely a – they bring back all of your characters, but they were going to spin off Hayden Panettiere. It was going to be the new Sydney. But four – I don't know why it gets the head. Like it's smart.
I don't even know
it's
that it
funny.
Got hate.
I think people are sick of those type of movies. Four is coming out after you've gotten 17 of the, you know, I Know What You Did and the Final Destination and all the Screams, and it just
I don't
was
know,
wearing
like
thin.
That,
I think.
Yeah, that
I thought
should've...
it was very. I haven't seen it since theaters, but I thought it was very Scream fashion in regards to the, it focused around the you know just the horror movie tropes and
yeah.
and that like this one its theme is that like it's a reboot like
right.
and
yeah.
the movie was aware that it was going to be a reboot
right.
to the franchise.
Okay,
and it should have worked,
but I didn't like Netflix did this weird thing where they had all the Scream movies up at the beginning of the month, but you only had 6 days to watch them. So
that's
I got
weird.
Through the first three, and then when I got through the done with the third one, I was going to go watch the fourth, and it was gone. I was like, well, crap.
Don't watch the TV show.
I don't intend to.
It's terrible.
It's on MTV, right?
It is trash.
Yeah. MTV. I don't have any desire.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about Scream 4 is that Wes Craven directed it, and I feel that it is clear. You can tell that it is clearly directed by Wes Craven, and I think this was either the last or second to last film that he directed.
So I think it has
a very very special place in our hearts for those of us who love Wes Craven and A Nightmare on Elm Street and of course Scream, and knowing that this I don't have IMDb pulled up, but like the last or one of the last that he was able to give us, I think makes it extra special because it feels like a Wes Craven movie, and that's I can just see his hand, you know, throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, I think Wes Craven is one of those guys that does not. I mean, he gets the love that he should, but this is a guy.
John Carpenter is, you know.
Probably.
I feel like he's more appreciated for some reason. You get like George A. Romero.
Yeah.
John Carpenter. For some reason, Wes Craven, I don't think gets his due as much.
For a guy who redefined the genre three times.
Yeah.
Like he created the genre. He's with Last House, and then he redid it again with Nightmare, and then he redid it again with Scream. Like that's legit. Like he is the guy who sets the tone for everything that comes. Like he is the blueprint for horror films throughout from the 70s to 2004, I think is when Scream 4 came out.
Yeah, 2004, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there
cool.
you go.
What else you got, Brad?
What else do I have? I put What We Do in the Shadows.
That was also
the Shadows.
That's so good.
That's a good.
But, like, that was another one of my questions. Like, I would have never considered a horror movie. But
it's about vampires. Yeah.
Twilight, but that's not a horror movie.
Well, it's not a comedy.
That's true.
Okay. And those vampires suck. Like, yeah. I mean, the vampires in What We Do in the Shadows are killing people.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
But yes, there are kills in that and gore. I mean, but yeah, perfect. Another perfect choice. Okay.
Yeah. And I wanted to be different because I know we were going to be overlapping. Yeah. So I put Tusk on there.
I think Tusk is a weird. It's,
yes.
I will give you that one because there's a lot of
uncomfortable comedy.
Very uncomfortable.
If you,
Yeah.
I just liked how that movie came together. Yeah. But and then another.
That's one of those where after we saw it, we reviewed it, and we were very lukewarm on Tusk, and we didn't hate it. I mean, I think Joe and I appreciate it more than Tom, certainly.
Yep.
But it's one of those movies that I've never stopped thinking about.
Yeah.
So then it makes me think, well, I mean, I didn't think it was great. I love Kevin Smith movies, but I was one of them where I'm like, oh. And then I think about it all the time, and I'm like, okay.
Well, that scene when they reveal... Like
so uncomfortable
when they reveal him in the walrus suit.
So uncomfortable.
I didn't know what to do.
Do
I get freaked out? Is it supposed to be funny? What am I supposed to do here? So I think Tusk is a solid choice.
Yeah.
And my last one, I've only seen once, but I remember really liking it. It also has Samara Weaving from Ready or Not. Was the Babysitter?
Babysitter and Mayhem are both.
Oh, Babysitter's great. Yeah. Love Babysitter.
Babysitter is fantastic.
I didn't realize that was her until the episode, and I thought that was great because I watched that one. I think around the same time you did when it came out on Netflix. I was like, oh, there's supposed to be this weird old, you know, gory, creepy, you know, movie.
It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and this fun comedy horror thing. And I watched it, and I, for some reason, totally forgot about it, but she was really good in it.
Yeah.
And I thought she was great in Ready or Not.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
She's great in Mayhem, which is another great
I've never seen that one.
It's so good. Mayhem's fantastic. Yeah.
Awesome. That's a great list, Brad. I think you did fine. You don't.
Thank you.
Don't
good job,
guess
Brad.
Yourself.
I was worried about it.
If it has horror
especially
elements.
Especially when Tom started going through the plot of his pick, I'm I'm not ready to do that.
No. No, you're fine. Okay, well, I guess let's get to my list, and I'm going to try not to overlap some of the other ones because I have honorable mentions that I'm just going to kind of scoot a couple off the list because I want to bring these ones up because they're really great. So my number one movie, though, without a doubt, is a recent movie and one that not a lot of people have seen, but I preach it from the rooftops. I'm always talking about this movie, and it's a great time to pick it up. It is Anna and the Apocalypse.
I
remember you talking about that a lot.
Oh, yeah. I did not see Anna and the Apocalypse. I heard plenty of reviews on it, but none of them got my ass into the seat at the theater.
Well,
I wasn't so maybe you can sell me on it now.
Absolutely. Well, it was in theaters for a small amount of time, but you know, it's a very independent release. It's this Scottish horror comedy musical movie, which it's a weird combination. It's not one that necessarily gets butts in seats. A lot of horror people don't like musicals. Joe, for instance, like huge horror buff, not a musical fan, but this movie is so amazing. It is a great musical. And it's a great horror movie, and it's just like Tucker and Dale. If you like that, how they combine those two things, and this movie and In the Apocalypse does it perfectly. It's just such a fun movie, love letter and homage to people who love horror, that love zombies and those tropes. It's so cleverly written, but the songs on their own. I would say if you don't like horror movies, which I know that doesn't apply to anyone here, you know, but I mean, like, if you don't care for horror movies, never seen one, never want to see one, you can listen to the soundtrack and you can love it.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's an impressive feat to make a horror zombie musical and then tell someone, okay, listen to this soundtrack without telling them what's it about, you know, and I bet you fall in love with the music. You love the fun lyrics. It's just so well written. I was blown away when I saw it, when it came out. And I have been spreading the word ever since. A lot of it was last year, but now that Halloween's coming back again, it's time to.
It comes back every year, Kevin.
Well, now that it's thank you.
Yeah, 31st every year.
I think you misconstrued my. It is now time for Halloween to come back. Not it finally came back, but it's a perfect time to pick this up. But it's about this small town and it's overrun by zombies. But in musical fashion, the people bust out into song. But it's hilarious because a lot of the town is very much like Shaun of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
The people are very unaware of what's going on, kind of like how Sean is in the beginning. And there's all this crazy zombie stuff happening in the background. It's very fun, very clever. But when they finally get ready, I mean, they they make weapons and they're kicking ass and everything, but it's set to all these musical numbers, but there's a love story in it and it's about friendship. I mean, seriously, you can put the soundtrack on. I bought the vinyl, which is this like clear blood splattered special edition vinyl, really cool release from it. But you can listen to the soundtrack beginning to end, never skip a number, put it on repeat. For people that love musicals, watch this movie, and especially if you love horror, you will get a kick out of it. I will go out on a limb and say that Joe would enjoy this movie.
What a bold move.
I know, but I'm telling you right now, and Ryan, for someone that talked about a horror musical comedy, seriously, take my word on this one. Watch Anna and the Apocalypse, and I think it's only $5 or $10 to own. I mean, it may be on sale right now, but at the most it's $10 to own. It is a repeat viewing at least every year. But I will tell you what, I had the soundtrack on in my car. I was watching the movie over and over again last year when it finally came out and I bought it on digital. It's so rewatchable and so fun. You'll love it. Right. So everyone,
thank you guys for doing it.
I'll make it a point to watch it this Halloween season.
Thank you.
I think you two should do a Patreon podcast on it.
That might be a fun one.
Sure, we'll do. Yeah. We'll just add it to the list.
Yeah, that might be a fun one. And so Brad, you heard about it, but you never.
Yeah, you talked about it all the time. How many times did you go see it in theaters? Because you tried to get me to go.
Only once.
Oh, with boyfriend Brad.
Yeah.
No,
embrace it, Joey.
I believe I was on the tail end of that, and I was. Once I saw it, though, I was touting it up, and then it came out on digital, and I instantly bought the soundtrack to support it. I mean, it is an amazing movie. I wish it got more attention. It came out on digital here in the U.S., and then they finally came out on DVD in the U.S., and the U.K. got a Blu-ray and I believe a Steelbook Blu-ray. Quote me on that.
The U.S. not get a Blu-ray?
No.
Whoa.
And it still hasn't, to my knowledge. And it's the problem, again, it's a foreign release,
sure,
right?
Sure,
it's a U.K. release. And
did you check out Arrow? Arrow and Vinegar Syndrome and Diabolik.
No, I mean I talked to the director about it.
Oh, did you? Okay,
yeah, yeah. But it is an amazing movie that deserves a Blu-ray release, but it's in, you know, beautiful high definition streaming. It looks great. So that's how I've been watching it. But I would love a Blu-ray, and especially like a cool steelbook would be awesome for this movie. Like the vinyl has the blood splatter.
Sure,
and everything.
Sure, sure.
But seek this movie out. I know that we have a lot of listeners that like musicals that we've talked about and I've seen, you know, go to musicals. And if you enjoy comedy and or horror, I'm telling you, you don't even have to like horror. It's obviously a lot of it is there, but it stands on its own for the music. The songs are great. I mean, they're composed great. The lyrics are funny, but they're also heartfelt. And it's just a blast. It is a blast. That's the best way I could put it, where you watch it and you can't help but to have a smile on your face. And even though it's like death and zombies and killing is around, it's like the movie makes you so happy and joyful. Oh, it's also set at Christmas time,
perfect.
Right?
That's
like
perfect.
Gremlins. I should mention it's a horror Christmas movie. So you get the musical element, you get the horror element, you get the Christmas stuff, and obviously the comedy that comes along with it. So much to dissect, and I could go on and on, but I'll give you my other four here. Go see that movie. I'm going to move Tucker and Dale on the
That's
honorable
fair.
Mentions,
That's fair.
Right? Because we've already talked about it. I am going to put... I'm going to move off Army of Darkness because we talked about it.
Yeah.
You mentioned it, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
I prefer Army of Darkness for entertaining comedy factor.
I think it's a more of a comedy than...
Evil Dead 2 is a better horror movie.
Yes.
And, yes. But... Army of Darkness has the comedy, the zaniness. I love Bruce Campbell, huge fan, and Sam Raimi and Ted Raimi, and I, you know, that crew's great. So I'll move that an honorable mention, but I'm gonna go to my number two. Well, let's see. I had to move stuff around. Hold on. I'm gonna go number two. I am gonna mention this because it's so good. Cabin in the Woods.
Totally.
Yep.
I mean, absolutely.
That's one of those that it has the perfect blend of horror and comedy, but it also keeps you guessing. You have no idea what the hell is going
on.
You get
to the end, you're just like, what?
And it's got a unicorn kill.
It does. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I love that. That is a great kill. Love that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I'm going to go to number three, and this is a movie that I'm not sure that a lot of people have seen, but Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Blake talked about that in one of our previous episodes. Yeah.
Have you ever seen this, Ryan?
I've never heard of it.
No, but I did. I've heard of it because I was talking with somebody on Twitter about it was another movie, and Behind the Mask came up as one that that he thought I should watch. I don't remember the context of the conversation, but the title came up and I was intrigued at the time. So now that it's come up again, I definitely need to watch it.
This might have been me. I think
was it
me,
him?
I think it was us talking. Were we talking about Man Bite Dog?
Yes.
Okay, because Man Bites Dog is a, I think, 1991, 1992 yeah. film. It's a black and white film, and it follows a serial killer.
Yes.
But there's a camera crew following the serial killer, and it
that's it. It was us.
Yes.
It was, yeah, uh-huh. I remember now.
Because not
yeah.
a lot of people know about this movie, but they modeled it. I mean, I don't know for a fact. I didn't do a bunch of research, but you can tell that Man Bites Dog is the movie where they follow the serial killer, and it's a funny movie. There are funny elements, but it's more of like a
yes.
dark comedy,
correct,
right? Because he's this real serial killer, but the crew's following him around. You see his kills and his everyday routine, like he's a normal person, but his job is go to work and kill people.
Right.
So what Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon does is they turn it into a Jason.
Basically, Michael
it's
Myers.
It's a yeah. Michael Myers yeah. type character. Good call. But a camera crew follows him around, and it's a faux documentary crew about following around a slasher.
Yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of
well,
a serial killer.
It's basically from his point of view, he's like, hey, watch this. I'm going to go scare this person. Yeah. So from like it's a joke from our point of view. When you look at it from the victim's point of view, it looks like a slasher flick.
Well, and Tucker and Dale vs. Evil is a similar,
very, very similar,
similar thing.
Yeah.
So this movie is so funny. It's a hilarious movie. And if you love slasher films, you know, much like the Tucker and Dale does with a whole lot of elements, but if you love the slasher movies, I think you definitely get a kick out of seeing it from that
yeah.
perspective. And it's always funny when you have a camera crew following like someone that they shouldn't be following, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like,
right,
just
right.
like with a serial killer, when
that's
you have
like
a,
what we do in The Shadows.
Yeah, right. It's
yeah.
A, I mean, they're it's the same. If we're going to put them in a genre
right.
of a faux documentary,
yes.
you know, that's exactly where that falls. So instead of following vampires and serial killers, it follows the slasher, and it's hilarious. So definitely check that out. I'm going to say coming in at number four, Slither.
It's a good one.
I mean,
oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So this is James Gunn coming off of writing. He started off with Troma.
Yep.
And he was writing the Troma movies. Then he wrote the two Scooby-Doo movies. And this was his directorial debut. Mm-hmm. And it is a solid horror movie.
Oh, it's a good body horror movie.
And it's a body horror movie. Yeah. I will tell you what, for the early 2000s, it is amazing how good the CG is.
Yeah.
Like, not only do they have good practical, super creepy, gross practical effects, but like the CG, I mean, you obviously can tell, but for the time period, it really holds up.
No, it does.
Which
it
is
really does.
Surprising. So the people that handled that, I was amazed that they were able to pull that off on the lower budget
yeah.
and for, you know, an up and coming writer director at the time. It's great. And the cast, I mean, it's got Elizabeth Banks,
Nathan
it's got
Fillion,
Nathan Fillion, Michael Rooker. James Gunn is someone that we know loves horror. Loves the creepy, gross type of stuff.
Oh yeah,
and he gives you all of that in this movie. But his writing is on the level to where, you know, we've got the guys like Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino.
It's very quick.
James
very
Gunn knows how to write
yeah.
characters, and he has the writing in here where you could still relate to the people. They're in terrible situations, but they still have real conversations, and they can make you laugh
right.
in this terrible horror event. They always stop to breathe and talk and be real people. So they're not just fodder.
Right.
And that's something that early on you could see. I mean, definitely with his writing, you could have seen it. But with his early on directing here, you care about these people, even though it isn't a zany, crazy, gory body horror movie that's ridiculous and absurd at times. You actually
very...
care about the characters, and that's impressive to do.
Right.
And it has that heart element. You have the character played by Elizabeth Banks, and Michael Rooker plays her husband, and he's the first one infected by these crazy aliens.
Gross.
And it's gross. And like, you know, you get the body horror with the alien going into his chest,
yep.
and then you constantly have like tentacles coming off of him, and then
he turns
as
into, like that big old
yeah,
big
as it
old,
goes
yeah.
on, like all these people get infected. They're like they go in through their throats, and then they merge and melt into him, and
uh-huh.
turns into a horrific, practical, gross body
yes.
monster
with Michael Rooker's face.
Yes,
yeah.
And yeah, throughout the movie, he gets boils and different wounds, and then it just gets grosser and grosser. watch this movie if you, I mean, a lot of people would have no idea that James Gunn was involved with this movie. Like, right. if they saw the cover of it, they wouldn't think the director of Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. But if you want to see where he started out, again, like, he got his start writing for Troma, you know, and
oh, yeah.
like Toxic Avenger 4 or whatever. And
now he's, you know,
and now he's one of the biggest directors yeah. in Hollywood. So it's a great introduction to his filmography. And also, I mean, a great horror comedy that can keep you, you know, it's those writers that know how to balance it, because sometimes you can get a little bored with just kills and stuff, and you're like, yeah, or you're, because you're like, let's get past the talky, let's get to the kills, right?
Right,
in
right,
a gory
right.
horror movie, sometimes you just want to see crazy kills, and then you're like, I don't care about Nathan Fillion, I don't care about this romance, I don't care, you know, you don't care, right? Give me the kills. With this movie, you actually like and are invested in these characters,
right?
And so, I mean, that's a sign of a good movie, first of all, but I think in horror movies, sometimes it's harder because, you know, you have certain expectations of, let's just get to the kills.
Oh, and, I agree.
And this is one of those that really works every scene on both the comedy and the horror elements. Number five, I'm going to have to, you know what, I'm just going to have to go, I think, with Tucker and Dale.
What is it? What
else you got on there? Because I move stuff around.
Oh,
it's
okay,
like,
okay.
I don't think I can leave that one off the list. I think
it's
Tucker,
too good.
I think Tucker and Dale has to go on there because of how smart it is. I think it deserves a spot. Everything we talked about, obviously, I don't have to go back into it, but it's such a smart script.
Yeah.
And when you can appreciate it on both levels in the way that you can, whereas you can like watch the comedy and you can watch the horror movie.
And the love story.
And the love story that we brought up.
For sure.
I think it deserves the spot, so I'm going to move it back onto the list. It was actually towards the top of mine. But
I had two that were just like floating in and out.
I didn't want to double up on it and talk about it, but taking it off seems wrong.
Yeah.
And Tucker and Dale, you've got to be on there. Go watch that movie. And if they ever do make a sequel, I will be there.
I think the two that were floating around for me were, my number one was going to be Monster Squad, but Monster Squad is a fan. I don't care. You can talk all the garbage
I've
you want,
seen it, but
which
I
is
just
ridiculous.
Like the,
go watch it. Yeah. It's great. But the other one, when we
would
talk,
you really
we
put that as a comedy.
Absolutely.
I feel like that's more.
That's
of
an
like
80s
a,
comedy.
Yeah. I feel like it's like an 80, like a coming of age kind of a.
Would
kids.
You consider Goonies a comedy?
Well, no, because it's not good or funny.
You're
but
ridiculous.
Not really. I wouldn't consider Goonies a comedy.
Oh, I kind of would.
You can have comedic elements, but I don't. See,
that's what I'm saying. Like, the horror is real where everything that's going either way.
Yeah.
But that one was, but we did that last year. Did we talk about that last year? But the other one that was Return of the Living Dead Part 2, which is the other guy who created Night of the Living Dead. So like the whole, Brains, that's this guy, not Romero. Yeah. It's this guy.
And everyone.
And it's very, that movie is very funny.
Yeah.
So those were the two that like were floating in my list, and I decided to, I didn't want to talk about Monster Squad.
I'm sitting here across from a poster for Ghostbusters, and it was never mentioned.
Yeah, I that one's a tough one because I don't think.
Well, I think it deserves that title. I mean, it is a horror comedy, and I think it's a great movie. But I don't know. I don't think it deserves a top five list. It's a wonderful movie, and it's one I could rewatch a lot. But
as much as I enjoy Ghostbusters, and which is a house at HHN this year, I don't think it's funny enough. I mean, there are comedic elements. There certainly are paranormal elements, but I just don't think it's funny enough to be a comedy. I
don't think it's scary enough to be a horror.
Yeah, that's where I'm kind of falling. Yeah,
it's just because all the other ones that we've talked about are like laugh out loud funny, and I don't it's good. I mean, no one's gonna you know argue, no one's gonna say Ghostbusters is a bad movie.
Right.
I think we can all agree it is a good movie.
Absolutely.
But I didn't even think about it until you just mentioned it a moment ago. It's like, oh, that's right, Ghostbusters.
In Shaun of the Dead, there's the scene where like they're surrounded. Like, you obviously, you know, your characters are going to make it out. But that scene where they're crouched down behind the bar and Ed gets taken out. So you're just like, one of your main characters gets taken out. You don't know what's going to happen to Liz or Sean. So like, there is that sense of dread as they're closing in, where I feel like in Ghostbusters, it's almost like a superhero movie where, yeah, we've got the big bad guy, but your heroes are going to make it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's kind of the way I feel about that one.
Gotcha.
That
makes sense.
I just wanted to bring it up because I felt
totally.
That's going to be one that maybe the listeners are going to question. Why did
you
bring up the Ghostbusters?
Bust our junk.
I think it definitely can. It deserves an honorable mention for, it's just not in my personal, but it's a great horror comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, it falls into those categories, certainly. But okay, well, I think that does it. This is a great discussion. It was fascinating to hear the different picks, and it's funny how, you know, ones that didn't even come to mind that I love, they didn't jump to the top of my list, but you guys all had great picks, and I was like, oh yeah, you know. I mean it's given me a lot of reminders of things to watch around this holiday season, that's for sure. So, Ryan, did you have anything else to add?
Yes, I do. While we were speaking, I looked up Scream 4 to see if it was the last film directed by Wes Craven, and it was.
Oh.
And I don't know why we all were thinking 2004. It came out in 2011.
Oh, my
God. Maybe something else came out in 2004 that we were associating it with. But
the first one was
2011.
The first one's 97?
96.
Because New Nightmare was 94.
Yeah.
Then it was Scream was in 96. And then
Scream 2 was a year
because
later.
There was a big gap between 3 and 4. And so maybe 3 was
2004.
But Scream 4.
Okay.
Scream
makes
3
sense.
Was 2004. And then it was 20. I was like, Wes Craven didn't die in like that. and then I just looked. I was like, oh, crap. You know, just looked it up.
Yeah, because the main plot of that one is your killers want to be stars on YouTube. Like YouTube was a big thing back then. Well, it still is, but like that was like the beginning of like the YouTube craze. So they were like, you'd want to be YouTube stars. But yeah, that's Scream 4 does not get the love it deserves.
Awesome.
This is a great conversation. Love all the mentions. And now I have some additional movies to put on my list for October. I probably won't get up to the latter part of the 2010s this year for my 31 Days of Horror blog because I started in the mid 90s because last year I stopped in the mid 90s. I think my last film was, last one was Hocus Pocus, but I think prior to that was Scream. So I kind of picked up with, I don't know, Hocus Pocus isn't a horror movie, but it's a Halloween movie.
It's a Halloween movie for sure.
And so then this year I started in the mid 90s and now I'm working my way up and see how far I can get. And, so I don't think I'll make it to the latter 2010s, but I'm hoping to cover, some that I haven't seen in a while, maybe only seen once, starting with the mid 90s, working my way up to, getting closer to today. And we'll see how far I get. And then wherever I stop this year, I'll pick up with, next year. And then I'll, kind of go back to the beginning again. But I'm glad I have some additional ones to think about. And I promise, Kevin, I'll watch Anna the Apocalypse.
There it is.
I may not make my blog because it only came out last year, so I may not to it. But I will watch it because I think I'm finally sold on it.
All right. That's
you have to be after that sell that you gave. I have 3 stars next to Tucker and Dale and Anna and the Apocalypse. So
perfect. Sounds great.
It will be watched.
Well, thank you, everyone who is involved, and for Tom, who had to sign out at the beginning of the episode. But, yeah, again, a lot of great picks from everybody. So many fun films to discuss and neat to take a subgenre of the horror. I mean, look at all the movies we listed
our
top lists and are talking about how great they are, and that's just horror comedies. So ton to discuss in the horror, I'm sure there will be some other specials out there.
And if any of your listeners are going to be at Spooky Empire this year, I am a panelist. My panel is Saturday, November 3rd at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right.
So if any of you are listening or are going to be at Spooky Empire in Tampa, make sure to come by my panel where I'm going to discuss why horror. It's going to be a talk on the sociology of horror and the community therein.
Perfect. All right. Well, definitely. It sounds like something to check out. So that does it for this one. We appreciate you listening. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, I think Tom did, but thank you for rating, reviewing, subscribing. If you're a new listener here, we'd love for you to subscribe and listen to the other shows over on Real Spoilers. So we're a movie. We do basically a movie of the week. We have a breakdown of news and box office for one episode. And then we have our main review of the week where we spoil usually the number one movie at the box office. We say the biggest movie of the week by eyes on it. And we discuss it in depth and we spoil it. That's why it's called Real Spoilers. Go figure. Thank you for tuning into this one. Subscribe over there. Rate and review if you haven't already done that. We appreciate it. Follow us at Real Spoilers on Twitter, facebook.com/Real Spoilers, and we have the Facebook group there. So under our page, Real Spoilers, you can find the League of Show Shares. A lot of discussion there. So we'd love for you to join us. Let's go around the table and everyone can say individually where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
This is Brad. You can find me on ReviewSTL.com.
And Ryan?
And this is Ryan L. Terry. You can find me on Twitter at RLTerry1 and my blog, RLTerryRealView.com. That's real with two E's.
So that will do it for this episode. And stay tuned for more Halloween treats to come from Real Spoilers. I'm sure that by the time this posts, there probably will be another special. So for more Halloween goodness in our weekly reviews, head over to the Real Spoilers feed. But until then, have a happy Halloween.
Real Spoilers. Real Spoilers.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.